It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Jacoy James Pugh, the president of Black Women's Wall Street, a women-centric organization providing startup business training, financial literacy, and education to help them impact and benefit their communities. Jacoy, how you been?
I have been exceptionally well. Thank you so much for asking.
Have you had a good summer in spite of all this heat?
You know what? This has been a great summer, but I to be honest, so I'm a mom. So I love when school starts back. It gives the whole household the structure that it needs. It gives me the peace that I need because the house gets quiet. So summer is great, but the school time is even better.
Oh, I hear you. It's like there can be some organization. There's some structure. There's not the chaos of, oh, can I go here? Can we go there? And what are we going to do today? You're not necessarily right. The entertainment. You actually, like I said, do things in the summertime that you don't do in the fall and the winter and the spring when you have school going on.
Absolutely, 100% true.
Speaking of the things going on in the fall, please tell me more about this Invest DFW seminar, this occasion that's going down in September 21st, I believe.
That is correct. And I'm so excited to talk about this. So here's the deal. So Invest DFW, as you mentioned, is happening Saturday, September 21st this year. It's going to be in Arlington at the Dr. Cavasso Center for Visual and Performing Arts. Just a little background first. If you know anything about InvestFest, which this very weekend, InvestFest is happening in Atlanta.
So
InvestFest, that's happening in Atlanta with the Earn Your Leisure duo, Rashad Belial, Troy Millings. Those are the founders, creators of InvestFest and Earn Your Leisure. So you know those guys, right? Okay, those same gentlemen are going to be bringing coming to DFW for Invest Fest, Invest DFW, sorry. So Invest DFW happening in Arlington, the focus of that is connecting like-minded people, elevating financial and the entrepreneurial journey. You know, the goal is to create experiences that's going to give entrepreneurs access to resources and tools, knowledge to build real wealth and create thriving communities. That's really the purpose. That's going to be the focus of Invest DFW happening on September 21st.
That is fantastic. Again, there's always individuals and small businesses in particular, nonprofits as well, that are trying to get a handle on financial success and financial literacy in particular. So this is an opportunity for like-minded people to learn even more about how to take care of their money and have their money make money for them.
Absolutely correct. And, you know, for me, I feel that too many times in the community, in the Black and Brown community, I think that we've been beat over the head from a financial literacy standpoint. I think everybody that is in business for themselves really understand, hey, don't commingle your funds, have a personal account, have a business account, you know, make sure you set a budget, all of those things. But now that we've been educated on that, let's get to the next level. Let's get to the next level and start having a different type of conversation. Let's really start moving beyond the base level conversations and saying, hey, let me start looking into possibly franchising. Let me look into M&As or mergers and acquisitions. Let me look at exploring being an owner of precious metals, because we know gold doesn't lose its value. You know, it's things like that. So these are the kinds of conversations that we're really wanting to help to open the eyes of the community to say, you know, if you're going to explore becoming wealthy or building or creating a legacy, you know, start the business, that's great, but what is going to help you to collapse time frames? What's going to help to build a legacy and to help infect and impact generations that's coming after you? Those are the kind of conversations that we're really needing to step more into.
Oh, I love the way you speak. I love the way you talk. I love the way you break it down. We're talking to Jacoy James Pugh. She's the president of blackwomenswallstreet.org. And by the way, talking about how people want to have their money make money for them, I think a lot of people over the last decade, for sure, especially Gen Z, they know it's a gig economy. And part of the reason it's a gig economy is because a lot of people did not want to work for a business, did not want to be stuck in a corporate structure or a 9-to-5 job at the plant. In other words, they weren't raised that way. I guess a lot of people coming off of this pandemic, they're like, you know what? I actually want some time for myself, but I wanted to do it myself and I want to have ownership of it myself. And so that's where they're looking at the opportunities. And you tell me where I'm wrong on this, because this is what you do. There are a lot of people who found out through social media and social media influences, no matter whether it's TikTok or Instagram or X or Facebook. Guess what? I can make money myself, and that money can make money for me.
You hit the nail on the head.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Ring the alarm. And so here's what's funny before I really dig into that. My mom, you know, she passed away just a couple of years ago. And I tell people that my mom still to, you know, up to her dying day, she really didn't understand how I made money, because she came from a generation. She worked at the post office for 40 years.
Woo, sound like my daddy. So, I'm serious. Sounds just like my daddy.
And so long gone are the days where people hold true, stay loyal to one entity, to one business, to one company. People are saying, listen, I want to be the captain of my own ship. I want to be able to decide what I do, how I spend my time, truly establish work-life balance. So you're right. When you talk about people in this day and age where social media has created celebrities, you know, internet sensations, even my daughter is like, hey, I want to start my own YouTube channel and have a vlog. Like my 14-year-old daughter, that's her mindset.
Yeah.
And so people are looking at very creative ways in which they make money. You know, I have a degree in business administration. That degree is 20 years old. The way we did business 20, 30 years ago just isn't realistically applicable today, because you have all of these competing priorities. You have all of these different things that are catching your attention. You've got AI. You've got digital currency. You've got all of these different lanes, these different angles in which people can make money. And it's only getting better, you know. And so I tip my hat to the Gen Zs. And then I think after that are the alphas, because I've got a 3-year-old that's after all of that.
Yeah, Gen A, the alphas, yeah. They started all over again.
Exactly. I tip my hat to them in looking at different ways to, you know, explore ways to generate income, to be their own boss, to set the course and, you know, change the trajectory of their lives. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be an employee working for someone, getting them rich. Like, we can go down a whole rabbit hole, because I'm a Robert Kiyosaki fan. And
okay.
Where he talks about the quadrant, you know, the ways in which we make money, you know, either you're an employee, you're self-employed, you're a business owner, you're an investor, you know. So really it's about having these conversations about what side of the quadrant are you on and what's going to leverage you the most financial impact to where you can buy back your time and not having to necessarily transfer hours for dollars.
Oh, I love the way you speak. And by the way, Robert Kiyosaki, the guy is brilliant. He's written several books, and entrepreneurs swear by him, because, again, he actually, I guess he started writing those books back in the 1990s, maybe. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, wait a minute. He's exactly right. You know, rich dad, poor dad, just go down the list. This is how you get it done. With that being said, during the pandemic, I think a lot of people's eyes were opened up when they found out that, guess what? You don't have to work in an office to be successful. You can work from home. And I think a lot of employees became empowered by saying, you know what? I don't necessarily need this particular job if you want me to be in the office 9 to 5, 5 days a week. And I think a lot of different corporations and a lot of different organizations and businesses started saying, wait a minute, we've got to be more flexible to keep the best talent or to lure the best talent. And this is part of understanding the money and also the independence from a 9 to 5 cookie cutter job.
You are absolutely correct. You know, the pandemic, it did a couple of things. You know, if you were an employee used to going in every single day, then you realized, your employer realized that, hey, we've got to pivot. We've got to continue generating revenue. So let's get everybody home, get their desktop, laptop set up at home so they can work remotely, right? Mm-hmm. And then it also shone a light on individuals that have families, you know, of small children, that when the pandemic started to, you know, dissipate, that people said, well, I don't want to go back into the office.
Right.
I actually like this. So you have a lot of businesses that were born as a result of what the pandemic showed. And so you have a lot of people that say, hey, I'm going to start this business now. And this is my time. It also shone a light on, you know, small business owners, that you have a lot of people that are solopreneurs that were, had these side hustles, that had these gigs, but they were not operating in, the ideal fashion, meaning that they didn't have all of their books in order. Mm-hmm. They were still doing business through their social security number and not an actual EIN. They didn't have bookkeeping. They didn't have a separate business account. You had some of those things. So the pandemic definitely brought about a sense of awareness, and it was kind of like a get right church moment. Like everybody like, hey, if you like, if you want to be a business owner, this is the time to do the pruning. This is the time to get all of your business matters in order, because you had PPP loans. You had all of this stuff that was available to people that they didn't realize, you know, prior to the pandemic that was available to them. So going back to employers, yeah, they had to figure out that, hey, these people really have gotten comfortable in their home. So how do we, like you said, lure them back in? So they had to maybe have like a hybrid model, right? Where they say, hey, come in a couple of days a week and then you can work from home the other days of the week. Or maybe we'll pay for a daycare, or maybe we'll do this. And, you know, they had to get creative, because you're right, good talent is really hard to find. And they realized that, hey, if I want to secure this talent and keep them on board to keep my doors open, I've got to be strategic and be very intentional about the ways to keep these people on my team.
And that's, like you said, that's actually was the paradigm shift, where people started saying, you know what, being in a gig economy is not the end of the world. It's actually powerful, because I can decide how I want to earn money, how I want to decide, or I can decide how to make my money, make money for me while I'm working the quote unquote bigger job. And so that's where people started thinking outside of the box, which goes back towards the Invest DFW, I don't want to call it a seminar. What would you call it again? Because it's going to be, I think, for everybody. Is it more than a seminar?
Yeah, it's going to be. So it is one day. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a seminar, but I think it is probably, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what I would call it, but it's not a seminar. I would say that it's probably more so like a fireside chat.
Yes, it's definitely an opportunity. It's definitely an opportunity for like-minded people who are trying to figure out either A, how to invest, or B, get money to invest, or how to have my money work for me instead of me working for the money till I'm 65 years old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that this event is going to be something for everyone. So as I mentioned, we're going to have Rashad and Troy of Invest Fest and Earn Your Leisure that's coming in, but we're also going to have We're going to have Mahisha Dellinger. She's the CEO and founder of Curls and founder of Huzzy and Black Women Making Millions. Tarji Carter. She is a franchise veteran and guru. She's a CEO of what's called the Franchise Player. You have David Wren. He's the founder and CEO of Prosperity Mint, and that's one of the largest African-American-owned precious metal dealers in the world. Mm-hmm. So there's something for everybody, regardless of where your interest is, even if you didn't even know that these were opportunities and ways in which for you to make and generate money. You really want to be in this room because a lot of times exposure is really what it's about. Until we've been exposed to something, to know that it is a possibility, then that is where we're able to awaken something in us, to pique our interest, and to really go down a path that could generate revenue and wealth for ourselves and our families.
And this will be in Arlington, September 21st at the Cavazzo Center for Visual and Performing Arts. And we'll talk about some more of that before we get out of this conversation. But I have to say this again, opportunities like this are when iron sharpens iron. You'd be surprised what you might learn. You might be surprised at who you might meet. And what they always say is networking gets things done. You wind up networking with people and finding out things that can actually benefit you and them at the same time.
Absolutely. 100% true.
Okay, so let's talk about your nonprofit. Let's talk about Black Women's Wall Street. First of all, I think it's a brilliant concept, and I think it's much needed, because guess what? There's a lot of Black women running things in America today. And I think that Black Wall Street, for those who don't know the story about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, way back at the turn of the 21st century, it's a story that is hidden figures knowledge that people just need to be aware of. But I just like the fact that you've kind of tied it all together and turned it into a nonprofit opportunity. Can you talk about how you came up with the concept and what you exactly do for all the ladies?
Yeah, great question. So Black Women's Wall Street, basically our story is that we recognize that as Black women, and it's obvious who our target audience is, but we recognize that as Black women, we have a level of greatness within us where we have the ability, if we have the ability to be CEOs in our households, we have the exact same capability, expertise, knowledge, and capability of being CEOs in our businesses and our enterprises. And to your point with regards to Black Wall Street, you know, we not only look to rebuild the community of businesses and support of what Black Wall Street once was, but, you know, as Black women, we have the strength that others have borrowed from, right? We have been continuously asking for a seat at the table. We have grand ideas. We have formal education. We're in fact one of the most decorated in our higher education, where we go all the way to get our PhDs. We're multi-talented, you know. And so the basis of building Black Women's Wall Street is really putting us on a mission to strengthen, encourage, train, support, and empower Black women to start their businesses, because that is at the very seat, at the very beginning of being able to tap into generational wealth. And so our tagline is we empower, we educate, and we equip. And so we wanted to be able to create a community of women who want more, that will fight to have more, so they can build that legacy, so they can create the wealth for their families for generations to come. And so in the end, it's a win for everybody. And that is exactly what we're trying to do.
Exactly. I love the entire concept, because it's all about, you know, doing it for yourself and doing it yourself. Yes, everyone needs a helping hand to get started, or maybe they need the knowledge to know that they are capable of doing these things. But it's all about being self-empowered, and the fact that you can be financially self-empowered. I'm going to mention this, and you can just jump on it and run with it. I remember way back in the day when the Oprah Winfrey Show first came on. Oprah didn't own that show. But at the time, she started thinking, you know what? I want to own this show. And so my next contract negotiation, I'm going to negotiate ownership into this show until she had majority ownership into her show. And from that point on, she started producing other things, doing other movies, doing documentaries, having her own network. And now she's worth over $2 billion. Again, I'm only using her as an example because I think everybody's familiar with Oprah, but maybe you didn't know that she just worked for her show. She had her name on the show, but she just worked. She was just the host of it until she said, you know what? I think I want to own it. I think I want to be an entrepreneur. I think I want to do something that a lot of people didn't think a black woman could do.
Absolutely. And you are 100% correct. I'll give you another example. I believe Byron Allen.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Boy. His story. Mm-hmm. So I heard Byron Allen's story when he told it. I think he was on the Breakfast Club. You know, he talked about the fact that where he is today, being that he himself is a billionaire.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
television.
His house had to be on foreclosure 14. It was on the foreclosure list 14 times. Right.
Yeah.
And so it goes to show you, one of our taglines is believe it, build it, own it. And sometimes we can get so laser focused, locked in on just simply being a part of something, and we can feel accomplished and we check the box. And I want to just be a part of this. But with everything that we stand for, when I say we, talking about Black Women's Wall Street, we understand that a lot of the women that are coming to us, maybe their belief system is just a little weak. Sometimes we have to loan out our belief system until the ladies that we work with build up their own belief. Sometimes we don't get as far down the road because we don't have examples in our households, in our communities to say, you know what, one day I too can have, or one day I too can own. And so the goal for us is we really are wanting to be so infectious that people are understanding that the opportunities are endless. It's more than just being a part of something. It's having something, owning it, and deciding for yourself if that is what you want, that is what you can have. And I don't want to get churchy, okay? But I remember listening to a sermon from Pastor Stephen Furtick out in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He said this, and it has stuck with me forever. He said, Wherever God makes a deposit, wherever he makes a demand, he has first made a deposit. So what does that mean in essence when it comes to businesses? If there is a dream that a person has, or a vision or a goal that they have, if that demand, if that dream has been deposited into you, you already have within you what is needed in order to move it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to believe. You have to align yourself and get in certain rooms and network and build relationships. You have to be intentional. You have to be strategic. I talk about this all the time. I have an acronym that I used. It's called VISTA.
Okay.
V-I-S-T-A. VISTA is Be vulnerable, be intentional, be strategic, be transparent, and be authentic.
Ooh, I like that.
And when people can apply that, because, you know, in this day and age, there's so many fakers and shakers. You know, people are just trying to make money hand over fist, just trying to do whatever they can. You know, and I get it. People are just trying to get rich quick. But when you can allow yourself to move through your different projects and your business ventures and the relationships that you're building from a standpoint of being VISTA, the world is yours. But that belief system, I think it's fear. I think it's, you know, the lack of belief for a lot of people. And that is what we're really wanting to do, is to really help be a huge, major impact and be that belief system that we can loan out to the community that we're serving through Black Women's Wall Street.
I'm glad you said that, because there are a lot of people, they have great ideas, but it takes a lot of courage to act on those ideas. And you mentioned the word fear. Unfortunately, there are people who have a fear, even though they know what they're wanting to accomplish is sincere, and they, you just sometimes you have to have like-minded people to surround you with more encouraging thoughts to let you know, guess what? This can happen. It's not impossible. And if I stumble, I might not fall. If I fall, someone will help me get up. The mistakes are not the end. They're learning lessons. I mean, things like that. Let me say this also as well, because we're just mentioning Byron Allen. A lot of people may not be familiar. They've heard of the name, but they can't remember. He started off on Real People when he was like a young comedian, and he was like a reality show, Real People. Then all of a sudden, he started investing in his own work and investing in television shows like Oprah. Oprah owned her show. He wanted to own his shows. Then he started his own network, Rio. And the next thing you know, he and his company bought the Weather Channel. For those who don't know, that's how big Byron Allen is. He's so big, he and his group were going to buy the Denver Broncos. You know, I talk sports, so this, I was well aware of him about to buy the Denver Broncos. And the only reason he didn't wind up winning that bid was because he got outbid by the Walton family. And who's the Walton family? Walmart. It's just that simple. Yep. It's just that simple. And again, he's worth, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 billion, but his connections make it over 100 billion. He's absolutely a major influencer, and he's still getting it done. But again, you have to have a little bit of courage. And sometimes it takes like-minded people like Black Women's Wall Street to say, you know what? You got this, and we got your back.
That's right. Absolutely, 100%. And that's the thing. People can and will let fear cripple them. Mm-hmm. And my biggest thing is I would hate to go to my grave knowing that I didn't do something that allowed me to be impactful to other people, or fighting for something that I strongly believe in, something that I strongly believe can be mine and should be mine. I just don't want to live that life and have a life of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. I want to do the things that are going to be impactful. I want to do the things that are probably going to be a little scary, but man, I mean, how awesome it would be to take a chance and then just to look back and say, what if I didn't say yes?
Right.
That is what I'm afraid of.
You don't want to have regrets. That's the way I try to lead my life. I do not want to have regrets. I always think that things happen for a reason, but I, number one, do not want to have regrets. Jacoy, tell us why you decided to make this a nonprofit as opposed to a small business, because both of them take a lot of courage to accomplish. Small business, entrepreneur, and nonprofit owner.
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. So the interesting thing is that I actually have my own small business practice.
Okay.
So J&K Solutions, I have my own small business practice. So I am a business consultant, business coach. I went through the Goldman Sachs 10,000 small business training and all of that earlier this year. So I am a business consultant by trade. And so what was important for me is that because I'm specifically working with audiences that do have the budget, that do have the revenue to work with me privately, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to flip my business offerings and services. I wanted to flip it on its back and to create a nonprofit environment entity so that it can help those that probably don't have the financial means.
Right.
You know, how can I be impactful and say that I want to help somebody to get to the next level or the next phase or to explore becoming a wealthy person if I'm not doing something? So this is really my social cause, my social responsibility. So I wanted to offer it to those that may be low to moderate income, maybe veterans or survivors of domestic violence. I wanted to be able to provide that and make it available to those that fit those categories so that they don't have an excuse. If you don't have the money, we can find sponsorship for you.
Right.
You know, it's of that nature. So that's the reason why we decided to go down that path of creating it as a 501c3.
And Black Women's Wall Street is also members of the Arlington Black Chamber of Commerce. I know you're very active with that organization as well. Where do you find the time to do all the things that you do?
You know what? 1 hour at a time.
There you go.
And every day there's always something to do. So I just kind of pace myself.
Well, I love the way you're pacing yourself. And I also love the opportunities. You mentioned a little earlier about Invest DFW, which is coming to Arlington September 21st. Are there any other projects coming to Arlington or in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that you're involved with over the next couple of months or so before we hit Thanksgiving that you think people need to be aware of?
Right now, it's going to be just the Invest DFW. Mm-hmm. We do have our hands in another event, but that's not until 2025. But right now, I know that there is an event that I'm going to be working with. It's the Extraordinary Is Gala with Tashonda Brown Duckett. She is CEO of TIAA. So I know that event is coming up November 2nd, and that is an amazing event that's coming up being led by a boss Black woman. Outside of that, it just gets a little quiet towards the end of the year, but there's always something brewing. So Invest DFW is where it's at for right now.
That's right. There's always something brewing, and there's always more educational things to learn how to have your money make money for you. Again, Invest DFW will be September 21st. Where can people find more information about that and about about BlackWomen'sWallStreet.org?
Yes. So with regards to Invest DFW, obviously, we are all over social media. So mm-hmm. you can go onto Instagram, Facebook to look up Invest DFW. We also there's a website, investdfw.org, where you can get information with regards to that. For tickets, anyone can go onto qwick.link.investdfw. For Black Women's Wall Street, our website is www.blackwomenswallstreet.org. We are all over social media, so LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of those things under BWWS Inc. And so that's short for Black Women's Wall Street Inc. So stay connected, get connected.
She is Jacoy James Pugh, the president of Black Women's Wall Street. Jacoy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed you.
And joining us now is Mr. Lee Nixon. He's the co-founder of Adriana's Angels, the foundation, a nonprofit providing financial assistance, resources, and emotional support to children battling cancer and to their families. Got a big charity softball game coming up soon. And Lee, I can't wait to talk to you about the details as well as some of the memories of Adriana's journey. And I saw the pictures on the website. She was such a little cutie. I know it's been kind of tough. And can you tell us about initially how you found out she had cancer and how she fought through all of this? Because this story is just absolutely amazing.
Well, as you said, I'm Lee Nixon. I'm the co-founder of Adriana's Angels, the Adriana Nixon Foundation. My daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer May 19th. She was a regular kid. She was doing regular things, going to school, playing softball. Mm-hmm. And one day, her stomach just swelled up so big, and her mother kept saying, "Something is wrong. Something is wrong." So we took her to the doctor, and the doctors told us that it's maybe a virus going around, that her stomach swelled up like that, and sent us back home. But Adriana would not eat, and she was complaining about her stomach being always hurting. So we took her back to the hospital, and we told the doctors, you know, we're not going to go nowhere until we figure out what's wrong. So one of the nurses told us, yes, we feel like it's something going on. They went and ran scans and found out that she had stage 4 liver cancer.
My goodness. Well, real quick, let me ask you this, because yes, this just happened like 5 years ago. This was like when the pandemic was going on. Was it hard for her to get treatment at all? I know back then everybody was, you know, you couldn't get access.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free.
all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Everything like normal, you know what I mean? So I'm just kind of wondering what y'all were going through.
Oh, well, it being COVID, it was really very hard because sometimes they only allowed one parent to be in the room and the other parent had to be on Zoom call. So it was really hard for us to be split and still have to figure out what's going on with her.
And how old was she at that time?
She was six. In 2019, she was 6 years old. So a six-year-old but she had great strength and was very brave and took everything like a warrior. So when they finally figured out what was going on, we got shipped to Dallas Children's Hospital, where we thought we was getting a transplant, but figured out they found more nodules where we couldn't get a transplant, and we had to get chemo in order for her to even survive. Her chemo took 8 rounds, and another surgery showed that there was dead tumors, and on her 7th birthday, she wanted a party, but she got a liver. And she woke up and told us, she said, "Mom and Dad, I feel great. I feel like I'm healed." And that was kind of the biggest, it really made us encouraged that everything was going to be all right.
Yeah, it seemed like a turning point, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Pretty much a turning point. The next 11 months, she was doing great. She stopped playing. She stopped playing softball, but then at the end of her 11 months, she started playing again. So through her whole treatment and everything, she started playing softball again and started going to school at home. And she was feeling great. She was feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
But then it came back. When it came back, they told us it wasn't nothing that they could do.
Oh, man.
And we had 11 months to, you know, get all the pictures, all the experience and everything with her. So throughout that 11 months, we did everything possible to make her happy. Took her to see her favorite people, Black Panther, Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it was 11 months, it was true. We went to the hospital and her last words was, "Daddy, I'm leaving now. Peace."
Oh my goodness. And she fought for like 2 years and 7 months. And she did it with such bravery.
Nothing but bravery. She never had a frown on her face. Everything was a smile. And she encouraged us to continue her journey because we deliver packs to the hospital that she started. She became a police officer, and they asked her, "Why would you want to be a police officer?" She says, "To help kids like her dealing with cancer." And she wanted to make them smile. So everything she did, she had a purpose, and she was brave about it.
I'm looking at this picture of her right now from your website, where she got a little police uniform on and a cowboy hat and a cowboy boots and her little nickname on the desk, Boss Lady. And she's got this big smile on her face.
And that was every day.
Wow. Was she in very much pain at the time? Because I can imagine, you know, what she's going through. But I can. And she's so young. She's like 7 or 8 years old at this point.
Yes, the only pain she had was her last week.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeries, she had two major surgeries. And then in a week of those surgeries, she stood up and walked through the hallways with no problem. The only pain she really had was the last week of her life. Everything else, she was strong. This was the bravest girl ever. For wow. to be a 6 to 8 year old, I have never seen nobody so brave and not scared of anything.
And it seemed
she had
like
angels by her side the whole time, guiding her to stay strong.
I mean, and that's why there's a foundation, Adriana's Angels, because she seemed like she was just on a mission to share her story and let other people and families know about childhood cancer and how they too can deal with the circumstances and maybe even have better results. But she seemed like she really knew what she wanted to do with her life. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because, you know, it wasn't like she was throwing a pity party. Not at all.
Oh, no. Her Adriana's mission was to help other kids and to be with her friends. The whole time she was diagnosed with cancer, she didn't want to be at home. She wanted to be around her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to let everybody know that she was all right. So we would pop up at the schoolhouse, and this is COVID time, so she has to wear masks and be careful.
Right.
And so she would pop up at the school, and everybody know what she was going through, and they know when she came, it was going to be a party.
Right.
So, So it made a lot of the kids happy seeing her not struggling, seeing her not being upset knowing that she is sick. And not just that, the kids, it even made adults brave. Adults was looking at her, how strong she was being, and they said, if she could do it, they can do it. So Adriana was a kid who always told everybody she was going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
If she's here with us, she's going to be all right. If she's not with us, she's going to be all right. And I hope everybody understand that, you know, some things unfortunately happen, but at the end, we all have a purpose, and her purpose was to bring joy to the world. And she did still bringing joy to this world today.
She sure is. And again, she passed away February 5th, 2022. You mentioned
yes.
She was an honorary Fort Worth PD officer. She made the rounds. She hung out with her friends. She brought a lot of levity to everybody she was around. I heard she also likes to do Lego. She liked to build Lego things.
Yes, sir. So with that being said, February is everything for us. So February
mm-hmm.
is when she 5th is when she passed. February 28th is her birthday. February 28th was when she had the gift of life. And every February we collect Legos
mm-hmm.
to send to the hospital. Last year we had 280 Legos collected, and we donate them to Cooks Children's Hospital, and we do that every year. She's a master builder. She builds hundreds of Legos, and then with that being said, we give kids Legos every time we put it in the pack.
Wow. That's an amazing, amazing story, an amazing legacy for Adriana. Adriana'sAngels.org. That's the nonprofit. And it's just not you and your wife. She's got brothers and sisters, right? Talk
yes.
about your family a little bit. Yeah. She wasn't the only child.
No, she wasn't the only child. She has three brothers and four brothers and two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they deal with it the way they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they remember her about the Legos. They remember her about softball. My oldest daughter still plays softball because that was her little sister. See, they was always in competition. And the little brother, he talks about her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he is in his mindset. She is still with him. So every day he tells me Adriana would be proud of him. She would be glad that he's doing great and she's with him through all his studies and everything.
So you brought up softball. And
yes,
I know
sir.
She has a charity softball game. It was just a natural thing to happen since she loved it so much. Can you talk about when you first came up with this game And then the game is, I guess it's going to be next month in September. Can you talk about where it is right now? And you've had amazing sponsors get involved and partner with you guys to raise money for children's cancer awareness.
Yes. All right. Well, we came up with the idea of the softball game is because that's what she loved. She loved playing. She played it during her cancer. She played it before, and she was a great player. She was 6 years old. She made the all-star team.
Look out.
And she was first base, and she was a pitcher.
Oh, well, okay.
She didn't pitch the ball, but she just played it.
I got right you. There. I got you. She was out there with a little stick. I got you.
Yeah. In the middle. So we came up with that because it was a love for a game, and it's co-ed adults. So our first event was with the police. Every police, the Fort Worth police, Bedford police, Arlington police, okay. They all pitched in.
Tarrant County.
Yes, and help. And that's how it started. And then after that, we just kept it going. It's our third annual. It's at Gateway Park. It's September 14th. And we still hoping. We have teams join, and we're looking for more teams to come out for a great benefit. Every proceeds goes to children that is dealing with terminal illness and their families.
So is this a tournament or just different people on teams playing one game? Tell me about the game.
It's a tournament.
Okay, there we go.
It's a one-day tournament. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the tournament, you get rings and whatnot. And then it's a tournament, sir.
Right.
I lost in it.
No worries.
One day tournament, and the winner get rings.
Yeah,
and everything.
Trophies and whole nine yards. So if it's a tournament and it's an all day thing, I know you got concessions.
Oh yeah, concessions. We got vendors too.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody
got vendors, got music, and it's a lot of fun.
If somebody wanted to be a part of it, like as a vendor or a volunteer, where would they find more information?
If they needed to be part of it, you go to adrianasangels.org, and it's a form that you fill out, or you can even message us on Facebook or IG, and we'll answer. Adriana's Angels, the Adriana Nixon Foundation.
I saw some of the different partners you have. I'm impressed. You got some really, really good people who are supporting this thing from all walks of life. But I'm like, wow, how are you able to secure the services and the partnerships of some of these big organizations? Because this is it really helps when you have somebody that can help out on the little things, too.
Well, it really wasn't us. It was like Class of Chevrolet.
Yeah.
They came and reached out to us.
It's good
because
people up there.
They wanted to do it.
Yeah, up there in Grapevine, those are good people.
Yes. They wanted to be part of it, and they wanted to help us. And we really appreciate anybody that wants to help. We go look and we go search, but those big organizations, they reached us after us and told us they wanted to be part of it. And that we are very grateful for that.
I bet. And I know. You know, you've been able to raise a lot of money in children's cancer awareness. Are there other ways that you guys have been making people aware? I mean, because, again, Adriana was just, like you said, she was an angel. That's why it's Adriana's Angels. Have there been others following her footsteps where maybe you go and you reach out, maybe visit some hospitals or things like that? Talk about how you kind of network this thing, because I think a lot of people find those stories interesting.
Okay, so with our mission,
mm-hmm.
we reach out to all the people. You know, we go online and we see who's hurting, and you know, we can't help everybody, but we help as many as we can. So we go out online and look, and we look for them. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the hospitals. We talk to their parents. We tell them, you know, we here for you. If you need us, we give grants out every month, and we ship out 8 boxes to everywhere in the world.
Wow.
Everywhere in the world, every state. It doesn't matter. If you in need, we here to help you. So that's mostly what we do every day with somebody that's dealing with cancer. It's some child that's hurt. Mm-hmm. And we try our best to get to them to let them know Adriana's Angels is here for you.
Did the doctor say how she got the liver cancer, or was it just random? Was it hereditary? Because I know those were questions y'all were thinking about all while she was going through these treatments.
Yes, sir. They could never find out.
Wow.
It was just a rare cancer that older people get. Mm-hmm. And she just happened to get it.
That meant it was part of God's plan. He had to say, you know what? We're going to use her as a guiding force to shed some light on children's cancer and make it aware and try to help some other people out as well.
Yes, sir. And it's so far we're doing the best we can, and we will continue to let everybody know her name, Adriana Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
The Adriana Nixon Foundation, Adriana's Angels, and her name gonna stay alive as long as we stay alive.
I know that's right. Your wife, Andrea, isn't she an educator? She's a teacher, right? Can you talk about her a little bit and how she's been dealing with all
my
this?
Wife, mm-hmm. My wife is, she's one of those go-getters, you know? Like, she is the president of this. Like, she reaches out to everybody. She's a very special person. She deals with this very different than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And she is strong. I am stronger than her. But she knows more than I do.
Right.
So she reaches out to everybody in the world. She's a pit bull mom. She guarantees to help you if you in need. Doing this is helping her in a way that I can't explain, because
I bet it's a coping thing. It helps her cope.
Oh yes. Oh yes. When we started it was a tough journey. It was very hard every day. If you get what I'm saying, it was crying every day, but now is more calmer. So without my wife, this wouldn't really be as far as it is.
I can imagine. And again, what you're doing is so needed. And the empathy is there with all the people in the community who you know, have kids, whether they have cancer or not. They want to be aware, because everybody wants to take care of their kids. They want to take care of other people's kids. They want to make sure kids have things that they don't have. And I know your kids, they're still a part of this as well. I mean, they may not be as hands-on as you and your wife, but I'm sure they are very, very, very involved with the foundation.
Oh, yeah, they do. They help us ship off the packs, and they help us stuff the packs, and they know who started it, their little sister. So, yeah, they get involved as much as they can.
You mentioned she didn't realize she had it until she said her stomach was hurting. This was when she was like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, 6.
6 years old. Can you talk about the kind of little kid she was before this happened? Because she seemed like she was able to handle this, you know, better than most. And maybe that's the way y'all raised her. But can you talk about, you know, her as a toddler or pre-K, and how she just carried about herself?
Okay, well, Adriana was excelled in everything from 1 to 8. Yeah, so in pre-K, she was ahead of her time. Mm-hmm. It mean like she was already another levels and levels and levels. So
she just seemed different. It seemed like she was mature.
Yes, she was ahead. She knew everything before the teacher did. Mm. Yeah, so she drew pictures. She was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was mathematically smart.
Wow.
And she's a computer whiz. Her mother is a computer tech, and she get it from her mom.
Okay.
The iPad, she create websites and everything. She was she got a YouTube channel.
Wow.
Where she created little characters.
Mm-hmm.
So Adriana, as a kid, she was already a special child in anything she did.
It also sounded like she was kind of a leader, that other kids looked up to her, and she was always in the middle of stuff. She was always, you know, she, like you said, she, when she showed up, it was a party.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's every time. Every time they loved seeing her come. They was hurt that, you know, everything happened to her. But mm-hmm. she was the person to be around. She made people smile all the time. She made people want to go play and have fun. And we loved that about her. And her little brother, that was her son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got
she
you.
Was
yeah.
The mom.
She was just another mom for him.
She was a mom.
That is so special. That is so special. Can you talk about the rest of your family and how she kind of impacted everybody in the family, not just your immediate family, but, you know, some of the relatives and whatnot, and everybody in the Tarrant County area that she had an influence over?
Well, okay. As for the family, mm-hmm. the family loves her. They mm-hmm. they miss her every day.
Mm-hmm.
She had a thing where she's a mixed child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
a blended family.
Yes, but she loves. But I told her, I said, you know that, you know, your mom's white and I'm black. And she's like, what? She's like, no, daddy, I'm black like you. And I'm like, no, we're both. You're both.
You blended.
So she loved her black side of the family a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved her white side of the family, too.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just like, oh, I just want to be, I'm just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the kind of person that brought everybody together.
Oh yeah, and still is
mm-hmm.
as of today.
Mm-hmm.
She still is with them, and they just miss her so bad. I talk to my brother about her all the time, and my brother tell me it's gonna be all right, and I know it's gonna be all right, but we just wish that, you know, she was back with us. And then, you know, the pain just lies in our heart.
Well, she's looking over everybody just every single day. And at the softball tournament in particular, can you tell some of the ages of the different games that are going to be played? How old can you be? In other words, it's not just for kids. It may be for some adults. You just tell us a little bit more of the details on the softball tournament, because a lot of people listening are like, wait a minute now, September the 14th, we might have to bring my squad. Or I might bring my kids or whatever it is, right?
Okay, so it's at Gateway Park in Fort Worth. September 14th. The age is from 18 and older.
Okay,
you have to be an adult.
Okay,
but
you can bring the kids to watch. You can bring the kids to watch.
Oh yeah, any area, it's open. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can come in. You don't have to pay.
Yeah.
All right. It's co-ed, so it's women and men playing together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's raffles and it's vendors and it's fun and music.
That
so
like
I really hope everybody come out and see it and take part of it. It'll be a good experience for the whole Fort Worth area.
Okay, so let me go ahead and break it down. Do you play softball, or do your wife play softball? How did she get to playing softball?
Hey, I play softball. I'm the kid. My wife is the coach. So the Adriana's Angels team will be in there.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah, and we have lots of fun, man. I pick my whole team. And then the team, we have a championship team that need to be beat. they won twice already. So somebody has to come and beat them.
Very nice. And where can people find more information if they wanted to do all of this or be involved? Even if they didn't want to play a little softball, they just want to be involved with the Adriana's Angels, the foundation itself. Where can they find more information?
The more information you can find is at adrianasangels.org. That's where you'll find everything that you need.
Everything you need.
And everything.
And again, she's been such a blessing, and you know what she's done? She's basically created a legacy. At her young age, she has created a legacy that has an impact not only in Tarrant County, but you said you've been sending stuff all over the world, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have sent packs to anybody who needs it. We wish that we could do more.
Right.
You know, in due time, we will be able to do more.
Exactly. It's just a matter of time. And again, this is how these things grow. This is how the word gets out. This is how, you know, sometimes you affect lives in small ways, in little steps at a time. And this is just another opportunity where she has created her legacy. Again, Lee, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks for joining us, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me. This is right here is a blessing. And you are a blessing to me and my wife. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.